Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ernie C, the Gap-Tooth Genius, and I present to you episode 137 of the STS Podcast, when I'm shooting the shit with my good friend, Lodi. Make sure you follow the STS Podcast on X and Instagram, STS Podcast 661. Follow and subscribe to me on Apple Podcasts, and you can watch this podcast on Spotify. Welcome to episode 137 of the STS Podcast.
You'll get the shit.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Ernie C, the Gap-Tooth Genius. And this is going to be episode 137 of the STS Podcast. I am joined by my homeboy, making his third appearance, Lodi Loke. What's up, sir?
What's up, man? Ernie, appreciate you for having me. Always a blessing.
Is it kind of awkward we have to start over again?
No, I was only 4 minutes in, maybe slightly awkward, but hey, bro, it is what it is. Your dog was not having it.
Man, so. That is not my dog. That's my fiance's dog. I'm going to tell her, like, yo, this guy cannot be in the cut anymore.
You love that little guy, though.
I do love him, though. But I do, hey, we added that third appearance. I did not know it was a third appearance, bro.
Yeah, definitely. It's my third appearance, bro, for sure.
Welcome back to the show, and welcome back, everybody. We're coming off episode 136 with my guy, Wes Davis, a new boys basketball coach there at BHS, Bakersfield High School. And make sure you follow us on X on Instagram, STS Podcast 661. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify, you get the video link so you can see me and my guy, Lodi, chopping it up. Lodi, what's up with you, bro? What's going on?
Man, dude, just fresh off of work. It's been crazy at the pharmacy, being busy taking care of these horses.
You're doing horses though?
Yeah, it's like pause. That's probably about it's an animal pharmacy, but 85% of our revenue is horses.
Oh shit.
We're considered the biggest compounding pharmacy now in the US, honestly. Okay. So it's not a lot of people. Before I started working there, you didn't even think they'd have a pharmacy just dedicated just to, you know, only one animal. But yeah. So just been, you know, trying to make sure these horses are getting taken care of and getting these meds out to the veterinarians and, you know, all the owners that, you know, horses are such majestic animals. So it feels good to, you know, make sure we're, you know, servicing them. So.
That is something that's unique, bro. I had no idea.
Yep.
I would imagine there is a market for that because the health of our animals, but these horses, their health is...
Yeah, they're very high maintenance. Yeah, and health is everything with them for sure. So yeah,
that's cool. Bro.
Definitely
that's
a lot cool. of upkeep, but yeah, no, I've just been doing that. So just fresh off, so just been doing that, and feels good to be back on the pod with my bro.
And dog, you came right after work. I said, bro, if you come after work, I need you.
You know, definitely, and definitely. Awesome, what dog. You know, I got that. You know, didn't have you know, I didn't have anything holding me back. So I'm here.
And we're talking about these damn mics. I'm glad we understand the concept of mics because some people don't like to speak in. To the mics, and I don't know why this is why I switched it, because this mic has been giving my guest problems since like episode 100.
Yeah,
I fixed this one, but it's cool. I'll take the L on that one. What's going on, bro? I know we always talk wrestling, we talk sports. That's our bond, that's our friendship. WrestleMania just happened a couple days ago, maybe what you say 8 days ago, right?
Yep.
What did you think about WrestleMania this year?
Night two, I definitely would have to give it, I want to give it an A+, but I'm going to just be a little picky and give it an A, because there's always room for nitpicking. I feel like 100%. It could have been slightly better, but great show. Night one, I wasn't as huge of a fan. I think night one, I gave the grade, I was a little low on the grade. I think I gave it like a B- or a B. Felt like, you know, the main event, you know, was, you know, obviously exciting with the tag match, you know, having The Rock be out there, you know, back in WWE again. Obviously that angle with the Bloodline is, you know, highly entertaining.
And so they, 6 weeks ago, let me interrupt you. 6 weeks ago when they did this Vegas kickoff of WrestleMania 40, right, on Peacock and all that shit, and we seen The Rock kind of transform into that Hollywood Rock.
Yep.
Did you think we were going to get what we got the last 6 weeks? I had expectations, but man... It went beyond those expectations.
Definitely.
I knew, and I'm sure you know too, what we're watching right now is very, very special time in wrestling.
Absolutely. Like The Rock has been saying on all over his social media and on Raw and SmackDown and obviously WrestleMania, you know, wrestling is cool again.
Yes, it is.
You know, there was a minute from like maybe like 2015. 14 to like 2019 that it was really kind of
rough.
The product was bad. It was hard to sit through through shows and even pay-per-views. So, but they're doing really good work right now. You know, it's a Triple H has got full creative control. It's a new era. It seems like, the writing's a little better. The match quality is a little better. It seems like the production, the camera angles.
Definitely.
Seems like everything is a lot better. It's a deep roster, probably the deepest roster, wrestling, WWE at least, has had in quite some time.
I know the last part before we restarted, you were asking about if I enjoyed this two day format of WrestleMania. There's just so many guys right now that who could get that main event spot. And it just so happens that none of them are just, and this is just what it is, they're not bigger than The Rock.
Yep.
We would love to see LA Knight in that spot. We could have lived to see Seth Rollins in that spot again. We would love to see CM Punk in that spot. I'm sure he could have possibly got it, but I think if CM Punk was healthy, they're still going this route.
Yeah, he did say that he was originally planned to face Seth Rollins for the title, but obviously they had to swerve and had to make the change. But I mean, I was definitely surprised the way they rebelled against The Rock when he first came back, though.
And
they had to make that swerve and they wanted Cody so bad.
That's the audience they're going for right now, I realized.
Yeah.
I think right now, let's talk, we could talk about, so it's been so long since we had the last podcast, right? Let's name five moments that really made wrestling cool in our opinion. Let's make a list real fast. Five moments when the tide was shifting, where we get, now we're in this wrestling world where we're having sellouts every weekend. The ratings are going through the roof. The people are talking about it. We have Instagram and social media is going wrestling crazy, bro. And I know with us, we've been loyal through the Vince years, the Vince low years, the Vince high years. We've been through it all.
Through it all.
Would you say would be, let's put top five, the moments when the tide was shifting, when it's like, oh shit.
I would say
wrestling's going to come back. Wrestling's making that comeback.
I would say originally one of the things going back to 2020, I think when they were in COVID time and there wasn't any audiences and Roman was out for a while with his leukemia and he made that shock return at SummerSlam and took down Braun Strowman and RIP Bray Wyatt, and he kind of, he had that shirt, wreck everyone and leave. And that's what he did. And that was cool because we finally got him to turn heel.
Yes.
They finally did what we've been asking for the longest time because we didn't like this version of Roman they were portraying and they were shoving down our throats.
Yes.
They're trying to make him too heavy of a baby face and his promo work was just, it just didn't match his character. We knew what he was and we knew he was going to be a better heel. So finally when they did it, it got him way over. And that's one moment that sticks out. I think when CM Punk came back at Survivor Series last year,
when CM Punk came back, period, bro.
Yeah.
It sparked a fire. True. Anybody. Like this could be competition. The best thing that ever happened to WWE, one of the best things that happened, that this man didn't pan out in AEW, and bringing him back was like the ultimate never say never circumstance. They thought Ultimate Warrior was like, oh, we can't bring him back. Brett will never come back. No, we all thought CM is never going to come back, bro. There's no way. Hell froze over. And that was the perfect capture, dog.
Yeah, and he made merch off of it. Got that shirt. And it's popping in the merchandise game right now. So, yeah, definitely was shocked.
I think, and you know what? I am not an AEW hater, bro, but AEW becoming a thing definitely has to be one of the top five things, bro.
Yeah. Definitely. I would agree with you on that. It's good to have competition. It's good to have other options. I think there's so much good wrestling out there when it comes to, you got Impact, New Japan, and yes. AEW. And, yes. Not everybody can make it to WWE. So it's good to have an outlet. It's good. It's competition is good for it. And obviously, there might not be beating them in the ratings and, the quality might not be as good, but they have a lot of talent over in AEW.
And I think AEW too, another thing that people need to, and I'm sure they do realize, I didn't hear this on no pod, this is what I see now as a wrestling fan, right? AEW has given an opportunity to other guys to get jobs.
Yep.
Now we can give the Adam Copelands, Daniel Bryan's, and all these big stars who have shifted over, that has made slots open to WWE to give them a chance to give other guys a shot. And let's see. And I'm a big believer, the shit has to go on the wall. Let's see what sticks.
Yep.
LA Knight has stuck out. Drew McIntyre is doing some great stuff. And I'm not talking about the top tier guys. I'm talking about right now Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley. Those names, dude, have been able to shine because I think Edge leaving Judgment Day is a one of those things. He's able to go somewhere else. He could still make money. He could still do what he has to do. But that's not an option without AEW, bro.
Yep.
And I think it's amazing what having competition, and I know that, like, we see what happened last week with CM Punk with the Young Bucks and the whole Jack Perry. We could get into that shit.
Oh man. Oh,
I got a whole, we could go a whole segment with that shit.
Yeah, that was wow.
Roman turning heel, I think, with the Paul Heyman next to him.
Yep.
Awesome.
The bloodline, that whole storyline that's been going on now for the last few years, is just the bloodline. That it's a great work with Paul Heyman and Roman, God. And you know, there's so many layers.
I think Sami Zayn too, man. In that time he was with the bloodline, that kept me going, yep. And kept me wanting to watch the product. You can't hear me?
I could hear you. Well, let's see. I could. Okay, it keeps on going in and out. I'm good.
Okay, okay. Now, if you can't, if the way I do it too, if we can't hear, we just got to put the heads. We'll just talk like regular people, I guess.
Okay, that works.
That's what we have to do. This is a mom and pop podcast, man. We are STS
podcast. It's called shooting the shit for a reason. We don't have no script. We just be going off the head.
That's why I told my guy Lodi, like, we're just gonna have to go off the top of the dome, bro. I just want to talk wrestling and whatever else comes up after that. We talk some live shit. That's okay with me, bro.
Yeah, definitely. And then
AEW, you know. Roman Reigns. How big was in an AEW? I'm bringing CM Punk back. I want to put that as a two reason.
Well, yeah, for sure.
How big was Cody Rhodes coming over to WWE?
That was huge. I think, you know, there was rumblings, you know, there was rumors that's who was going to be Seth Rollins' guest opponent. Because remember, that was three
WrestleManias.
Yeah, because that's
fucking crazy.
That Mania was good out in Dallas. Stone Cold came back and he had a match with Kevin Owens. That was a really badass moment, because that was a... Definitely, you know, a lot of wrestlers, they retire, and, you know, most of them will end up coming back for another program or another match. But Stone Cold seemed like we were never going to get that. And he made it quite clear, because, you know, they've been trying to throw him a whole bunch of money to come back so many different times. So
he never wanted to tarnish his legacy, bro. And I know that him coming back, the dough had to be right, but I think the storyline had to be right.
Yep. And it made sense, you know, Kevin Owens, you know, they worked a pretty good match. But yeah, Cody coming back to WWE, that was huge. He had to go reinvent himself. He had to go out to the indie circuits, and, you know, he bet on himself, and now he's the biggest, you know, probably draw in, you know, in the company. So it's beautiful to see.
I've witnessed the journey, and I know you have too, just when he got cut or he got released.
He was Stardust. It was a character that wasn't clicking. It was just kind of like he was making best of what he could do with what he was given to work with, but everybody knew, there's so much more there.
And with that, bro, I did not, like, when he started going, doing these indie scenes, me following him, that's when I became exposed to the business even more, because I'm stuck in this whole WCW or WBE TNA world. I didn't really mess with New Japan. I didn't really mess with the indies, and I didn't know who these guys, I didn't know who the Young Bucks were.
When Chris Jericho went to New Japan, that was, I think, the first thing that got me to be like, oh, okay, yeah, New Japan. You start looking it up, and man, they're badasses over there.
It was real.
Yes, it was real. It seems like they're like really, like, they're not holding punches.
Yes.
It seems like there is, it's a lot more contact, and it's a lot more stiff strikes. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see, you know, because obviously everybody knows wrestling's predetermined, and you could call it fake. And, they definitely still be going out there and putting their bodies on the line, you know. They used to be 300 days a year. Obviously, they reduced the schedule. I think they're only doing like 200 dates a year now. 100%. And I think that's helped a little bit as far as, you know, holding off injuries and stuff.
And the money's a little bit better, I'm sure.
And the money's a little better, for sure. They're definitely making more money. So that's good for everybody. So
I think another storyline that really helped me lock in was Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Somehow they always intertwine, bro. And it's like... I always love that story. It's long-term storytelling, and that's what I've always been, and that's
why that payoff was so good with you know, the whole Cody finishing his story, you know, against Roman. It was they tied all that stuff in with the Shield, with Seth Rollins, and then Undertaker. Obviously, I know rumors are they wanted to get Stone Cold. Which would have made the most sense. But Undertaker also fit that bill too, because how important he is to WrestleMania, and obviously he had history with The Rock too. So,
and I love that, but man, if Stone Cold would have came out, bro, that would have been
that pop for the Undertaker moment. Was huge, but that pop for Stone Cold would have just been just massive.
The moment.
Yeah.
That would have been...
That would have had everybody talking, like...
Dog, this would have been up there with Brett, Shawn, and the 60-minute Iron Man match. This is up there, and I'm going to take a reach, but this is up there with Andre and Hogan, number three.
Yeah.
This is up there with, what's another, or fucking Seth Rollins cashing in. New
Orleans, such a good moment.
It's a moment, bro, and it's one of those moments we could have got. And it's all, you know, I'm happy with Taker. I love Taker being there too.
Yeah,
the kid in me, I still said, "Oh shit!" I jumped.
Yeah, we're still watching it, you know, over here at your house, and we all were still excited.
But. Maybe it didn't overshadow the whole. Maybe it was good. Was it Austin? Because I think that kind of overshadows Cody's moment in a weird way.
Yep.
Because Austin's still the biggest star in wrestling history, in my opinion.
I think he's still the number one merchandise mover in pro wrestling. And that's, yeah, like you said, it's insane.
And he can overshadow you, bro. And,
yeah.
Cody is a great babyface. I love Cody. But is he that babyface Austin? I don't think so. Just because Cody has not had that antagonist that Austin had that whole time with Vince.
Yeah, longevity-wise, you know, Stone Cold, he was around in the Attitude Era, and everybody, you know, still to this day, you know, mostly agrees that that's the best era that pro wrestling has ever had, and they were getting, you know, Raw was getting 4 million views a week. Now they're down to probably about 2 million.
Who would have thought that we would say the product is better without Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
I used to always say, I know we always heard, like, oh, Vince got to go. I was a Vince guy. Nah, you can't take Vince is the man. Like, yeah, he has some bad ideas, but he has some damn good ideas that outweigh all that shit. And now you see that pro wrestling is coming back into the world of WWE,
I think why we're getting the way it is right now is Triple H was a fan first and foremost. He's mm-hmm. a fan of pro wrestling. So he's looking at it through the eyes of a fan when Vince, I think, was looking more like business.
Yes.
He was looking a bigger picture. I'm not saying Triple H doesn't think big picture, but I think he tries to look through the lens of a fan, and I think that's why it's resonating so much with a lot of us right now. So
if we're wrestling fans, you see these storylines and the way the belts are ending, or these belts are becoming, it's old school storytelling.
Yes.
The bad guy is a good guy. There's stakes. Everybody's having a story. Everybody matters right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying kid shit, but it's not insulting our intelligence.
Yeah, and it seems it seems like they're starting to move away from PG, and they're starting to kind of go not necessarily quite Attitude Era, not quite that like R rated, but it does seem like they're getting a little more, at least like PG-13.
I would like to see more storylines as in, hey, some more realistic stuff.
Yes.
As in, I'm not saying, hey, you borrowed some money from me, I'm gonna fuck you up if you don't pay it back. Not saying that, or hey, you're talking to my girl. But, you know, just somebody...
Don't make the referees and the wrestlers, the performers, look so stupid. Like, it's nice seeing, like, oh, like, the ref, like, he'll catch somebody with the brass knuckles. You know what I mean? Like, little things like that. Like,
I've always wanted to see, this is a professional environment. You want the spot. I want the spot. Take it from me.
Yeah.
That type of shit, just walking down the hallway. Imagine Shinsuke walking down the hallway, and he's overhearing Adam Pearce talk to whoever and whoever about a title shot. Like, but what about my title shot?
Yeah.
All three of us, we can handle that shit tonight.
Yeah.
If you got the balls.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that type is real. I know, because if these are real competitors, which they are, I would imagine that would happen in real life. Like, hey, you're talking to them about championship opportunities. I've been busting my ass. When's it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
And then we could start a beef from that. And then somebody else could come out and say, interfere in the match. And then we could build into the feud. It just seems more realistic in that point.
I agree.
That's kind of what I would like to see more of WWE do. I love what they're doing now. This is the Renaissance period.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all looked for a fucking word to describe it. I think I've seen it online. This is the Renaissance period, bro. And it's. I think this is just the beginning.
Yeah, it does seem like they are a little smarter on the mic. A lot of the storylines seem a little more, they make sense. You know, the wrestling seems, you know, quality. Everything just seems like it's a lot better. And, you know, shout out Triple H, you know, Paul Levesque. He's doing his thing right now. And it seems like it's clicking with a lot of people. And there's a lot more eyes on the product now. You know, like we said earlier about The Rock, you know, making wrestling cool again. It's cool. A lot of people, you know, I've had, like, you know, like our boy Rob, you know, he hasn't watched wrestling in a long time. But mm-hmm. he's starting to become... you know, not quite like a fan like us, but you know, he's into it now, and he'll watch and he respects like good stuff. He'll call bullshit out if, you know, he sees bullshit, but definitely, when he sees stuff that's like realistic, it's like, okay, like maybe this stuff isn't as bad. Like, no, okay, bro. You know, so it's definitely drawing more eyes to the product, which is good for everybody.
I had a similar instance with that. My guy Trev Horn, he wanted to come on this week too. We just couldn't make it happen. He wanted me to come on the pod, and I will do it. Explain him the wrestling world.
Oh, he has his own pod.
No, he's never been. He wants to come on the pod, and he's never been to wrestling.
Too. Oh, okay.
He did the younger stuff, you know. I'm sure that 80s WrestleMania years and shit.
Hogan, but
he's been out the game, and he knows who Cody Rhodes is because his daddy. He's like, yeah. Oh, this is actually kind of cool. What's going on? Like, can you give me an update on what's going on in wrestling? Like, dog, you got to watch it. Like, what's going on right now is very, very intriguing. Mm-hmm. And what's more intriguing, you're going to even see the behind-the-scenes shit. That's really good.
Yeah.
And we've seen some of that last week with Dynamite, and I want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, we could definitely talk about that.
How the fuck do you air that and not have anything to...
And you don't make anybody look better on your company. You don't make any... It just makes CM Punk look better because... Everything he said happened was right on, and it's nice that we know that, okay, he's a pretty honest person, and we know that if he's going to be doing a real interview outside of WWE, you know, where he's just, you know, being Phil Brooks,
yes,
and he's just, you know, he's you know, what he's saying is true and it holds weight, and that's, you know, as anybody, as any human being, you know, you're only as good as your word. So when you see the, you know, that's really what happened, it was pretty intense.
I was thinking, okay, you're going to show this footage and you're going to show us, oh, this motherfucker was lying. He was lying on our name. Like, no, this is bad television. This isn't intriguing. This didn't make me want to watch FTR and the Bucks, and that's bullshit because them going against each other should make me want to watch it. And you have dissolved, you have disintegrated my interest. You haven't done anything to make me feel like, man, maybe Tony's right. Maybe Tony made the right decision getting rid of Punk. No, and you're still letting the fucking inmates run the asylum, bro.
Yep.
And whoever thought that was a good idea to run this fucking footage, which was, like he said, spot on. The man confronted the man. The man had some interacting words with Punk. He slapped the shit out of him, put him in a little chokehold.
I didn't punch anybody. I just choked somebody a little
bit.
Dog,
what are we doing? This is not this is not even WWE wrestling. I know everybody tells me, well, you're used to the WWE way. No, there is just a way we can make money. And I think Kenny Omega came out this week, and it was great to hear him say, sometimes we need a fight.
Yes.
We need to fight. We're in a physical sport. Everybody's competing against one another. And I'm not saying it's okay, but sometimes we just need a fight.
That's one of my favorite things about pro wrestling is when you get to hear stuff that's going on outside of the stuff that you don't see on TV. Yes. Like, there's you hear from all these wrestlers I'd be seeing, they'd be doing podcasts and talking, and they're, you know, they're outside of character, and they're talking about how it is. And I love the behind the curtain when they peel the curtain back, and you get to see, they're like, oh yeah, do wrestlers ever get in a fight in the back? Oh, all the time. Yes. All the time. Sometimes you got to. And like Kenny Omega says, sometimes you got to fight.
You got to fight. And I think we've seen it with Shawn. We've seen it with Bret.
Yep.
Seen it with Hogan and Savage. We've seen it with so many. We go down the line and do research. People generally did not give a fuck about each other as personal friends.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to business and we have to feed our families, if us going against each other in the ring and doing what we love to do and actually respecting each other enough to protect each other in the ring and fill up these stadiums, why aren't we doing it?
Yeah, you think of that angle with, you know, Edge, Matt Hardy back in the day. That's what made that even so much cooler as a fan, is that, you know, that like, whoa, like they were really was an affair. Like these, like, dude, and that puts you like, you're thinking like, man, what if that happened to me? You know, like, it's like, it makes it's more believable. And you're like, wow.
I think the biggest ball that was dropped with AEW, they're going to have to look back on it one day. And I called it, bro, and I'm not an expert. You know that. But I love the wrestling game. I've watched a lot. I've studied the shit out of these documentaries and podcasts and kind of developed a psychology for the game, which I guess the marks do. I'm a mark.
Yep, same.
There has to be a way where we get the Young Bucks and CM Punk in the same fucking room after the press conference when he says, I'm working with children. Which was fucked up to do because, you know what? as a person who loves the business, you put the shine on everything else but the belt that you just run from MJF.
They need to show that footage.
That would be great.
That would be, because I want to see how that transpired. Now that would have been.
He beat the dog shit out. Him and Ace still. He beat their ass, bro. There's nothing to see.
Yeah.
He whooped their ass.
Because even though he failed in Ultimate Fighting, you know, when he went to UFC, you know, like, he still learned some, like, legit, like, dumb moves that you could really, like, hurt somebody.
And he could hurt the Bucks, bro. The Bucks. Oh, for sure. Unblock me.
Yeah, you hear us, Bucks. Unblock Ernie.
Unblock me, dog. They're just not those guys. Can they come in right now and probably beat our asses?
Maybe.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they can.
I'm putting this in the stable right here. Sure that'd be good can. For the podcast, though.
It would be great for the podcast. It would be great, but their marks, they are marks in a way that's horrible because they're only out for themselves, bro. They think there's something that they're not. And yes, I understand they're EVPs. They put people in these positions to win. They feed families. I understand that. But as a businessman in the wrestling game, you have to understand you got to put your shit to the side for the betterment of the company. I guarantee you, if they would have went with this storyline, bro, them versus CM Punk.
It would have made money.
And they would still be in competition.
Yeah.
And, dog, I hope I know they're fucking regretting that shit, bro.
For sure.
Maybe not regretting it because they're still going to make their money, but they know that this company could have been put on another level because we would have believed it, bro. We would have believed that they had beef. Everybody would have wanted to watch and see what happens in the build-up. And they've left money on the table, and I've never understood why they do that shit.
Hopefully, I don't know where our seats are when we have AEW here in Bakersfield, but hopefully we're close enough. Maybe we see the Young Bucks. You can go bring us on.
Unblock me.
Yeah, we definitely got to give them hell for sure when we're down there. That's going to be fun.
Are we going to be the only marks in there, bro?
Seeing, you know, all these videos of attendance and seeing, like, you know, shots of, like, the crowd, it's looking just pathetic.
Why is,
like,
everybody just shocked really about
sad?
This?
Sad. Like,
they have nothing that anybody wants to see.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Nobody wants to see that shit. I love Samoa Joe, but no one wants to see him as the champion.
They lost MJF was a huge draw. You got it.
Yes.
You got to wonder, you know, at one point does he come over to WWE? Because if he does that, he will be a generational star.
He's still only
like, what? I think he's only like 25 years old. He's one of the younger top guys, you know. So he's been out for a while now. I'm kind of wondering what's going on with him. Is that they just give him personal time off? Did he get an injury? How serious is the injury? What's, like, is he still in contract with AEW? It'll be interesting to see how they bring him back.
Did you think Dean Ambrose was coming back on Sunday when they?
Oh yeah, when the Shield music hit, I think we both did. I think that was both of our call. We both thought that's what it was.
That would have been cool.
That would have been a cool angle, you know, because it would have, you know, long term storytelling, like you said. I have all three members of the Shield in there in the main event. It would have made sense.
That would have definitely made sense.
I think the crowd definitely would have got a huge, huge pop. I think a lot of people would have accepted it. Always liked Ambrose Moxley now.
I hate the way he wrestles now, but I'm going to get, like, you know what? At least he's doing his own thing, and he's taking the risk, and he's going to just bet on himself, bro. Again, unlike the Bucks, when they didn't want to put over FTR that first time, when they blocked me, I called, and I knew it, bro. I knew this was going down the shithole. I knew it, and I hate being right. But I said, if they don't do this, if this booking's going to keep going, AEW is going down the drain, bro, because they're not looking out for the business. Mm-hmm. And you have to look out for it. Maybe it is WWE way, bro, and they don't want that. They want everything opposite, and I get that. But there is respect that has to be paid, dog. And I'm glad CM Punk stepped the show, Jungle Boy. I'm glad we were able to see it on TV. I'm glad we were able to say, that sucked. That was a bad idea. Because Tony needs a no, too, bro. You can book it all you want, dog, but you need help.
Yeah, exactly. You definitely, you can't do it alone.
He needs help, bro.
You gotta let go of your ego sometimes.
And I get to, like I said, it's his, bro. I understand that 100% with egos, and this is my baby, and I want to take care of it the way I want to. But if we're trying to succeed, having 2,000 people and 8,000 people in 8,000
it's not a good look.
And oh, we're gonna hide it on the camera. Yeah, we can hide it on the camera, but the people are gonna talk, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it on X all the time. See it.
Yeah, I can't believe we call it X. I feel like I still call it Twitter. I very rarely call it X, but that is technically what it is.
I'm trying
called,
to be right, man. I'm trying to respect my man's business.
I am mad at you, bro. Fucking Elon Musk, man. What a character he is.
Dude, money, right?
Billionaires are crazy, man.
So one billionaire's out the game. Talk about that. Have you been keeping up with this Vince McMahon thing?
You know, I've heard a lot. I probably need to
read
a little more into it. Definitely seems like a lot of sexual misconduct is going on. People. And
literally,
yeah,
bro, he was out here doing that. And pause. I'm sorry that people don't want to hear this shit, but it's real.
I know something's gonna come out eventually, whether it's Vice or whoever gets that story. There's definitely a lot to be told. A lot of people want to hear. It might be worse than Diddy's situation, and we all know how ugly that looks.
I don't know if Diddy was shitting on somebody, bro. With his homie and shit, with his boys around. I don't know, bro.
Vince, man.
This is what happens when you get the power and people turn the blind eye and the power gets to your head and you feel like God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people are so surprised, and I'm sure they're not surprised. We've known, like, this has been, you know, bubbling up the last couple of years. But a WWE without Vince McMahon is crazy.
Yeah,
and it sucks. We can't even celebrate the man what he's done for the game. There is no game without Vince. I will give him that.
It's truly sad when you kind of admire somebody for so long, and you kind of look up to somebody like Vince McMahon, as we did, you know, watching as grow, you know, as we grew, as you know, at a young age when we started watching it. And seeing, you know, and hearing everything that's happened, it's sad. It's sad that we can't give him his flowers because it seems like he's done a lot of unforgivable,
it's horrific
stuff,
things,
horrific things that you can't just, you know, I can't co-sign.
And
you know,
it's like
can.
This day and age right now too, we cannot co-sign it because the psychological damage that is done to people like that. Mm-hmm. It's like as a man, you can't respect it. And I'm always been on the ropes too, and I'm not saying, I don't know how to say it, I guess it's in my pocket, say the fuck I want. I've always been on the ropes about we forget about people and their accomplishments when they fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Vince McMahon didn't rape nobody, he didn't murder nobody, he didn't molest nobody, he didn't steal from nobody. Those are the four sins. I get that. This lady wasn't 12. You know what I'm saying? She was a grown woman. Did he take advantage of the relationship? 100%. Fucking wrong. But I've always been kind of skeptical about, man, are we going to just erase people's accomplishments, act like it never happened because they made horrible mistakes? Because I know I make some mistakes in my life. I know you made some mistakes in your life.
Oh, too many.
But I feel like if it's not one of those four cardinal sins, R. Kelly, 1,000%. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. As someone who works in the education field, get these fucking chumos out of here.
Yeah.
Put them in here if we go fuck them up.
Yeah.
We got nobody else to do it. In this world, too, politically correctness and shit, which I'm all for, I get it. But sometimes we got to just say, we got to fuck them up. And I get that. Can't come back from it. Get it.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes where people make mistakes, bro. We just can't erase everything they've done in their whole life. And no second chances.
Well,
I'm not saying Vince fits this criteria. I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm.
We cancel a lot of motherfuckers on social media because they say the wrong thing or they promote the wrong product. But I see, was Vince a lot? What was that one fancy ass fashion brand that was promoting child porn or child exploitation? Is Balenciaga?
But I think it was Balenciaga. We'd have to check on that, but okay. I think there was some stuff that was going on with them.
We're not experts here. A lot of people promote that goddamn brand, bro, and we don't cancel them.
Yeah.
And they are known to promote that child harming shit.
I know their brand is definitely taking a hit since, you know, all that stuff came out, but yeah, they didn't get completely, you know, canceled, which, you know, a lot of people
so agree. So that's kind of where I'm like, oh, where's the standard here? The cancel button. Well, who applies to that? I don't think it's fair that we pick and choose, bro.
I need more facts about what happened with Vince. Yeah, yes. Everything is allegedly 100%. Innocent till proven guilty.
And again, I'm not saying we should celebrate the man. I'm saying it sucks because we couldn't because of the mistakes and the bullshit that he did that are not forgivable.
Yeah.
But it just kind of goes to the thing, like, when are we going to... What is the standard here? I think, like I said, murder, rape, molest, steal. Those are the things. Okay, I get that. We can never walk them back in society. We can't celebrate them. They're forgotten about. Chris Benoit, fuck him too.
Oh, see? Man.
But then again, like, damn, he was a great wrestler.
He was. Like, I know. That's what makes it sad, because he was one of the best technical wrestlers that I ever watched. He was so good, and it's just horrific.
It's a slippery slope, bro, and I know people don't like talking about it, but I think we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Some people, I'm not afraid of shit. Like, you know, I mean, I'm going to back up everything I say. I just feel like we got to be more consistent. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you 100%.
Hey, man, did you see my guy OJ passed away, bro?
Oh, OJ, man, that was, man, what, 76? You know, he had a interesting life. He had a great, you know, NFL career. He was one of the best running backs, you know, ever.
Buffalo Bills, baby.
You know, he was, you know, definitely, you know, obviously he had all that stuff that happened, you know, after that, which, you know, we could, that's a whole other thing we can talk about.
That's a whole other, that's another example of, this man has been canceled by society for a crime that he was proven in court he did not commit.
Yeah.
And I know there are circumstances where, you know, there was framing, it was a racial thing at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just wanted to get him off just to prove the system wrong. You know what I mean? Because they wanted to say, we got one now. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen the documentaries. But it's just crazy how this man was so involved in our culture in America. Everybody knows
who
OJ is.
Everybody knows who OJ is, even if you didn't, you know, watch sports at all. Exactly, you know, he was a very, you know,
famous man,
public figure for sure. He was famous.
I remember when he got locked up in Vegas for trying to get his shit back. It was like, whoa. I felt like that was fucked up too when he was just trying to get his memorabilia back. And that was like a kind of the way to get back at him. Like, okay, we couldn't get you for the murder, but hey, my guy, for the robbery, we're throwing a book at you. He did like 9 years, bro. And it's like, man, what if he didn't do it and we just shitted on him as society forever? He could never come out. How many times have we seen his interviews the last couple of months? Just them people just ask him the same question over and over again.
And, you know, he's a human being, you know what I mean? No matter what he was accused of, you know, you can't be like talking to them like that. And
I think with people with money too, they think the people with money still have, they're still human beings, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I know money doesn't cure some ailments that we have, bro. I know if I had $1 million, there's still some things internally that I can never solve with money, bro. It could be just, you know,
like they always say, like it's cliche as it sounds, but money can't buy happiness. Yes, you know, it's one of the main things. You know,
still be insecure, still be second guessing myself, still want to be as confident as I need to be. You can give me the million, I want to be happy. I want to be like, man, me and my girl could take some trips, we could save some money, we could flip some houses, but I'm still gonna feel insecure. I'm still gonna feel like I'm not, you know, good enough for what I've always put my expectations on. So, like, can you imagine what OJ, like, if he didn't really commit this horrible crime, and we just shit on him forever, now he's gone.
And now
we see all this bullshit. It's like, how do you celebrate someone's death, dude? Where are we as a society where Caitlyn Jenner could be, like, good riddance, but didn't you kill somebody, too?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that, bro? And I'm not knocking either of them, but that is, that's bullshit as a society, how we allow that.
Mm-hmm.
We are applauding someone's death. And it's like,
that's not cool.
There's a lot of people I don't really agree with and I don't fuck with in real life or in social media world or from afar, celebrities. But I will never applaud a death, bro. Like,
yeah,
that's the type of shit we got to crack down on, bro. And that's, again, we're not trying to go on this political rant or social commentary rant.
I know I had a Facebook post, you know, recently that I, you know, kind of said they kind of might have rubbed people the wrong way. I said, you know, people were kind of praising him like he was some super righteous hero. And sometimes I wish, you know, maybe I could have, I remember you were one of the people that commented on it. You were like, leave OJ
alone.
And I'm like, man, looking back, I probably could have not said that, because I'm in no way trying to, I didn't want to make that sound like I was celebrating his death, because I know that's exactly what social society wanted to happen. They wanted to see It's like they were expecting to see like white people like celebrating this. Yes, you know. I am of the Caucasian descent, so I fit that mold. I fit that mold. So
you are white as a motherfucker. You white as fuck.
Yeah. So even though I'm accepted in my Latino family, you know, and you know everything, I'm definitely still I don't even think about that. Still a German.
But dog, shout out to the Germans too, my G.
Not Hitler though.
No. He's not from Hitler's descent. Let's not do it. We won't even touch that one. So, I do think that was a great post, by the way. But I know where you're coming because you're just a funny mother. You're the one, you are a troller of the trollers at times, bro. Oh, yeah,
I'm bad. I know some people that are much worse than me, but I definitely definitely like to poke the bear, if you will. I definitely like to, I wouldn't say I like to sub people, but I definitely kind of like to like post stuff that like could make people like either laugh about or kind of relate to, or just to get them just kind of, you know.
I think too though, bro, we have to remember the man did have some shit going on. We're not one to judge, but you're right, it shouldn't be like some superficial hero died in the event that he did do this, because I'm always other side of the fence. Look at the motherfucking evidence. Yeah, he did that shit.
Yeah,
he got away with that shit. Kudos to him and the money that he went dollar for dollar with the state of California, bro. That's all it was.
And that's saying a lot.
And it sucks that two people had to lose their lives like that. Like getting stabbed 25 times. I don't want to feel that shit. It's horrible, bro. And it's 2024, man. I think we got to just open our eyes a little bit. You know, we got Kendrick and K-Dot.
Oh, that whole, and Rick Ross. This is the most exciting hip hop has been in quite some time. It's nice seeing, you know, the top heavyweights in the rap game.
And it's
all you know, gloves again are off, and they're kind of going toe to toe. And it's cool seeing everybody.
It's all revolving around the beef. See what AEW missed out on?
Yeah.
We want to see the beef. Bro. Yeah. People want to see the drama. People want to see the confrontation. People want to see what the fuck can he say to hurt him? Mm-hmm. Can he outdo the next man?
And me, I'm one of those guys where I'm a fan of them all. I like Cole. I like K-Dot. Yes. I like Drake. Yes. I like Future. Yes. I always like Rick Ross. Yes. You know what I mean? I fuck with them all. So I'm here just trying to enjoy it all. And just, you know, them trolling each other on social media makes it even, you know,
because that's funnier. Exactly what it is. I don't think they really hate each other.
Some of it seems a little like, I think that they're just doing this just to promote records, but I'm not mad at it because it's entertaining and it's fun to listen to as a fan of like hip hop like we are. It's an exciting time in hip hop right now.
J. Cole, I understand why he did it.
Because he's a legit, you could tell he's a legit, he seems, you know, from the outside looking in, he seems like a good guy. So I can see it was eating his spirit up. Like you said, he couldn't sleep for days.
I think because he went at his dog, and that's not his style. Like, this is my dog I'm going at.
Yeah.
And I respect my dog. And
I feel you. I like, you know, I kind of like look at it both ways. You know, I just, you know, back in the day, you know, I would never expect, you know, any hip hop beef. You know, imagine if Biggie came out and apologized, you know, with Tupac, yes, or like stuff like that. Part of it. So originally when he first did that, I was like, man, that was so whack. And I was so disappointed. But as time's going on, I kind of get why he's taking removed himself from the situation.
I think, like I said, this is my dog, and I'm going to diss him because people around me say I should diss him.
Yeah.
But then, my God, this is the way I come from. You wrote the fucking song. You cut it. You probably messed up when you're cutting it, so you said, let's cut it again. We mixed it down. We mastered it. We looked at the track list. We approved it. We hit submit. So many chances he had not to put that song out, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You had, there's many, many steps. The same thing why I tell people about some people who murder, shoot somebody. You had a chance to pull the gun out, you loaded the gun, you cocked it, you shot it. There's a couple times you could have said, nah, my guy, I probably shouldn't do this shit. There's steps to the process.
I think the next one that everybody's waiting on now is K-Dot to come back.
And they don't want that funk.
Because they don't.
They do not want that funk.
I think, you know, Drake, you know, he came out with something on Saturday. A lot of people, it's a sad day in the world that we can't even, oh, is this AI? Like, is this real? It's sad that we can't even hear a song and like we have to like second guess like if this is real or not. But it seems, everybody seems to be, you know, saying that it's real.
Yes.
So and he definitely it was a good track. It was a good diss track. I like it. It was good quality work. He a lot of people want Drake to rap like that all the time
on his albums
and on his albums, and he doesn't give his fans that. He definitely tries to cater to a bigger, broader audience, and obviously, you know, he's a businessman. He's an artist, it's smart. He's art. You know, he knows how to make hits.
Yes, he does.
But as us, as pure fans of like a lyricist and bars. It's whenever we see Drake do that, I think that's why people are so hard on him. It's because we know how talented he is, and we know you can put out a good diss track. We know you got bars, and you choose like not to do it consistently. It's like we know we're not going to get that from K-Dot.
But I feel like that's kind of his like that's his get down because Drake knows he's going to have a hit.
Yeah, and he's making billions. He's a billionaire off of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So,
but I'm a firm believer that you cannot be in this game and do what Cole did, and then retreat.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you.
You can't do that. But again, I understand the whole, this doesn't feel right with me. This goes against my morals. This goes against
my
beliefs.
Very human of him.
Yeah, and I'm
it's nice to see him be vulnerable.
100%.
Exactly. I don't agree with it, but it's nice to see him,
and I think
wear his heart on his sleeves.
That's more for the mature men.
I think
we understand, because I think we're both men who wear our heart on our sleeves, and we made tough decisions before. I get that part of it, but there is an ignorant Elmo local side like, no, fuck that. You want to talk that shit? Now you're gonna have to
stand on it, like the kid, like the kids say, stand on business.
You can be on stand on the business, my G, and let's take let's just get down in the ring, bro.
Because
let's fight.
And it's not like we know how good he is as a MC. We know J. Cole's one of the better ones out there. So you could compete.
And
like,
I don't want nobody to get hurt. I don't want nobody to get shot. I don't want none of that shit. I just want competition. If you're gonna say I'm the best, you gotta bring that shit, bro. I can't take one of the girls' teams on the court and be like, yo, we that shit. And then when the other team gets it, we see how big they are and how bad they are. Oh, fuck them. I was forfeit. Come on, let's get out of here. Not bad. I feel bad. Mm-hmm. Can't put the girls through this ass beating right now.
That's a good point.
Like, nah, bro, we on the court now. Let's just do what we gotta do. We get that ass kicked, we get that ass kicked. Cole, you get that ass kicked, you get that ass kicked. I think what I've heard too, and this is just, I don't know if it was on one of these podcasts, like it wasn't the Budden podcast. The man is protecting his brand. And I get that 100% too. As a businessman who has a brand, you gotta protect that shit. We're not built on beef. We're not built on being a bully. We're not built on putting people down. We're built on uplifting people and showing people that you can have a college education and that you can overcome your circumstances in your life, especially when you're a minority in this country. Get it 100%. For that, I'm all for it.
Well said. And,
I'm all for it, bro.
You bring it up basketball, you know, you're talking about that. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, man. Thank you, bro.
You're going out on top, you know.
Did you see the post today?
I don't think I've been on Instagram that much today, so I might not have seen it.
I got Coach of the Year.
You got Coach of the Year?
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah. Congrats, bro.
Shout out to the staff. Thanks, bro.
Hell yeah. Dog. I am the good most humble. Bro.
Man, when it comes to, cause I feel so.
That's good.
Again,
stay humble.
I feel
that's
unworthy of shit sometimes, bro. Cause it's weird, man. I resigned last Friday, and I get this award, and it's like
it's making you kind of second guess your decision.
No, not at all. No? It just makes me seem like, man, this is what it feels like in a weird way, and it's not what I thought it would feel like.
Yeah. It's got to be pretty emotional.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It was very hard for me to leave my program and
everything that you built, for sure.
Yeah, but I know that I know they did interviews, and I kind of have an idea who's going to get the head coaching job. And it's going to be a smooth transition.
Good.
Hopefully, they do the right thing. And shout out to everybody. I'm sure they'll announce that news when it's time. And I have no regrets. I don't hold any grudges. I'm not going to ever try to, gatekeep on shit, or like, I talked to a few of the candidates, and if you please do,
yeah, if you
I know
need gift,
I will, you know I know who I want the job to go to, because he's the best man for the job, and I trust him taking care of my baby. It's not my baby anymore, of course, but we had a good
but moment. It still holds a special place in your heart, no doubt, and it always will.
It was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make in my life, bro, but
you gotta do what's right for you, man. I commend you on that. A lot of people could easily just come back, but you're focusing on other priorities that you feel like are a little more important.
That's exactly
and there's nothing wrong with what you did. I know they appreciate you, and you're You did your thing, man, going out on top. You know, that's what, you know, kind of everybody would like to do.
I think I've always envisioned it going I wanted to always go out my way. Mm-hmm. And this is the only, I think this is the time to make it happen. And like I said, it was a tough decision. Do I feel like remorse over it or I feel bad? No, not at all, because it was doing best for me and my, in my four corners, my home, my family, you know what I mean? But do I, am I going to miss it? I'm going to miss it. You know, sure. There's nothing like being in the shit, bro. When you see these kids hit big shots, or you see these kids make big, have breakthroughs, or knowing, even the off the court shit.
And knowing you kind of had your hands on it to an extent, you know, yeah, you're being a coach and stuff.
And yeah, you know. And just being, the, you know, the program director and the head guy, it's like, I control what I can control, but I controlled a lot. And I like that, but it wasn't like a power, it wasn't like a
power trip.
A power trip at all. It was more like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And just kind of, if you guys just line up and just do what I need you to do, look at us strive and look at us win. And just keep that, keep grinding. Like, that keep grinding mentality is real, bro. Because that's all we ever, that's all I ever preached was keep grinding. I think once the, if we ever have, like, when I told the girls, when they become adults and shit, they actually come on the pod, we could talk about the memories and shit. I think one thing they're always going to say is, coach always said, don't be content. Want more. Let's enjoy this motherfucker tonight. Let's enjoy it. Even one valley. Let's enjoy this shit for the next few days. But, hey, back on Saturday, we're going to get back on the grind because now we have a state tournament. Hey, coach, what the fuck's a state tournament? They ain't never known because we ain't never been there.
Yeah.
You have to be a top two. You have to finish. You have to be in the finals of your valley game. Not a lot of teams have been there, bro. So it was really cool to have the kids experience that. With all these accolades and shit, bro, that's cool. But the kids get experience that's stuff the they're never going to experience again.
That's the most important thing,
like,
of it all.
I've been there, you know. I've been all, and I'm sure I'll be there again when I go back. You know, when I'm 33 now, bro. Why can't I go back when I'm 40 and have a 15, 20 year career?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm set here and I know I have my businesses where I want them, and I'm where I want to be at as a professional, I can go back and I can still make. I'll be even better because I'll be older and wiser, and I could, I'm still gonna be looking at the game. The game ain't going
for
away.
Sure, yeah,
like the game ain't going away, bro. And you know, hopefully, hopefully I made the right decision. But I know in my heart I did. I haven't second guessed myself, but I appreciate that, dog. And yeah, I got coach of the year, co-coach of the year. Shout out to homegirl at BCHS.
Yeah, congrats.
Shout out to all you guys. Thank you for the coaches who voted for me. Thank you for the staff who rocked with me. The players who gave their all to me. The whole campus for believing my, I thought my vision was crazy, but you know me, though, I'm a grinder, bro.
Yeah, you're a grinder, and I have mad respect, dude. Thanks, it's bro. I totally, the whole keep grinding lifestyle. I resonate with that. You know, I admire you doing the podcast. It's cool. You just do it for yourself. You know, you're grateful for anybody who tunes in and listens. You're not doing this to get famous. You're not doing this to get rich. You're just doing this for fun.
And whoever comes on. Like my guy?
Yeah. So thank you again. And you know, basketball, you know, before, you know, I know we probably don't have too much longer, but I know basketball, we got the NBA playoffs coming up.
Are we going to give LeBron a no trade clause?
I want LeBron to be a Laker forever.
Oh my God.
I don't want LeBron to go anywhere.
I don't either, bro, but there's a point where nobody, it's like WWE, no one bigger than the brand, bro.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's not bigger than the Lakers.
And I love LeBron, but he ain't bigger than the brand, dog. We gotta do what's best for the brand.
I don't even think Kobe's bigger than the Lakers, and I'm the hugest Kobe fan.
I agree. Stone Cold ain't bigger than WWE.
Yeah, it don't matter who you are. You know what I mean? Even though he's the reason why I became a Laker fan. But yeah, tomorrow we got the play-in. It'll be interesting. We got New Orleans.
New Orleans.
We just smacked yesterday.
Okay, good,
on the
good,
road,
good.
And we're playing them again on the road.
Good,
so
good, good, good.
If we win that, then we are going to play Denver.
So we need two. We need to win two of these games.
We're only going to need one.
Okay.
If we lose, though, we have another shot to get to stay, and we will play the loser of Golden State and Sacramento. This whole play-in tournament, it's still new. It's only like the third year.
I'm all for it.
It's making things a little more exciting towards the end of the season. You know, not a lot of teams are willing to tank. You know, they're trying to be a little more competitive because, okay, now there's two more teams that could compete at the end of the season. So it definitely makes it a little more exciting. It's different. You know, it's grown on me. I didn't like the idea at first, but I'm starting to like it a little more. Lakers have been in the play-in tournament every year since it started. So
yeah, no,
we're starting to get really familiar with this.
Yeah, we're getting our way in, though. We're going to get our way in somehow. I want to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of that.
I haven't watched a lot of the games this year.
Nah, man, but...
Playoff basketball is always a different beast. I know a lot of people don't like watch all season, and then the playoffs start, and they'll kind of be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to watch it, because, you know, it's obviously much better, higher quality basketball.
Yes, it is.
You know, there's more defense, games are a little closer, competition, you know, is up, you know.
I was listening to Brian Windhorst, or whatever his name is, sorry, Brian.
That's him.
Doug, he was talking about, I didn't even know this, the Cavs were tanking on purpose the other night.
Oh, something to do with their, I haven't kept up with the Eastern Conference like, that they much.
They were playing a horrible team, I don't know who the fuck, I forgot the team was, so I'm out the game right now. But the Cavs had four centers out there and a small forward.
Oh.
Because they seen the score at the end of the third quarter for another game, because they were the first ones to the first, of all the games, they were the first team, I guess during this afternoon session, to hit the fourth quarter, so they were able to see what the other scores were looking like. They seen the scores, so they said, fuck it, we're going to tank in that fourth quarter if we could lose to the Hornets, so who are probably the worst team right now in the NBA, supposedly.
They're up there. They're for sure, I think they're dead last in the East.
And they wanted the tank because they wanted that third spot in the lottery just to have that third slot for the, I don't know, what were the percentages?
I think it had to do with who Cleveland was going to match up with in the postseason.
Yes,
they probably seen that they were going to have a better matchup. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of fans saying the Lakers should tank and lose tomorrow on purpose so they don't, they won't have to worry about playing Denver. Because obviously that's kind of our Achilles heel, but you just can't do
we
that.
Want the funk. We
I think
the game.
I think it's better to play Denver early. Yes. You know, while we're you know, not as much last time we played them in the Western Conference Finals, and I think, you know, just the injury to LeBron and AD and their age, it kind of just weighed on them. So I'd rather see them early.
Is AD hurt now?
He had back, right? He left yesterday's game with back spasms. It looked a little ugly, but God. He seems to say that he's 100% confident that he's going to go tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. But yeah, it's exciting time to be an NBA fan. So hopefully the Lakers, man, I just want to see one championship. One more, dog?
Oh,
one more. Well, a lot more than that, but I want to see LeBron get one more.
I was happy with one we got. I'm just happy to get a championship.
Y'all could call it the ring bubble or Mickey Mouse ring, whatever. Hey, that's still a championship.
Well, dog, I hope they do it because, you know, your Vikings and your Dodgers ain't going to do that shit.
You know, Dodgers, we definitely can. We definitely can. Dodgers have a chance every year. However, the Vikings, they don't give me much hope.
All vegan, huh?
Oh, man, I don't... Oh,
all
God.
Vegan this year, dog.
Seeing that report was ugly. I still haven't been to U.S. Bank Stadium. You know, definitely on my bucket list. Want to go there one day. But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a little too late now, because now when I go, I'm going to have to eat before I go to the game.
Dog, we should hit that WrestleMania in Minnesota.
Did they announce it? Is that next year?
I've heard that's
going to be. It's either going to be Minnesota or Vegas, but they haven't announced
it.
Normally, they announce on the episode of WrestleMania, they'll announce next year's WrestleMania. But
yes.
They didn't do that this year.
They did not.
So it's interesting to see where they're
going
to go.
I would love to go to. Is it U.S. Bank?
Yeah, it's a beautiful looking stadium.
Well, I'd love to go there, and I'd love to go to Prince's house.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to.
Purple Rain.
Yes,
bro. Purple Rain.
I would go up there and sing that shit, bro.
Still the best Super Bowl halftime show of all time.
Yes.
And the fact that it started raining, like, that was
during
God.
Purple Rain, bro?
That was God right there. Yes, you know, the sky's purple and everything. That was a beautiful thing.
It was beautiful, dog. What was more beautiful is you came on the STS podcast for episode 137, my guy.
137.
God, I thought I have some more in the can. I should be on like a 305 right now. But we ain't gonna hold back anymore, dog. We're gonna keep going. And I'm glad you're part of the journey, bro. We're gonna keep this consistency going.
Definitely, man. I'm down to come on whenever. I know you're a busy man. But,
137.
Hey, you know, I rock with you, bro. I appreciate you. Everything. You're my homie. So
you're my guy.
I'm always here for you, bro. You ever want me to come on? I'm down.
Yeah, hey, you could do the Magoo trip. The Magoo had like seven
straight. Oh, Magoo was like, yeah, eight straight. Yeah, he was on here.
He
crazy. Shout out Magoo.
I need to get Magoo back up on here.
So who do we have to look forward to on the next?
I'm working on that.
But you're still working on it?
I'm still thinking my guy Trev Horn or my brother. It might be Magoo.
Okay.
Shit, I don't know yet, bro. But I might have the new Foothill High Women's Basketball coach on here.
I think that'll be good.
I think a lot of people
would like to see that.
The transition will be effortless. I am not please take it and please do well. And I'm going to root for anybody in that spot.
Yeah.
Because I love that program, dog. Yep. So, hey, man. SDS Podcast, episode 137. Ernie C. the Gap Through Genius. My guy Lodi here. We out.
Peace.